turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask for your presence and for your help, for your grace, for your favor, for Christ's sake. We pray that you'd speak to us from your word and give us grace to worship thy dear Son. Forgive us of our sins for Christ's sake. And Lord, accept our thanksgiving. We're so thankful for who you are. We're so thankful for your glorious attributes. Lord, we bow down and worship and thank you for the revelation of yourself. I bless us for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Now let's look in verse 42 of chapter 20. And he said unto him, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel, Ahab, went to his house heavy and displeased, resentful and angry and vexed. He was mad over what the prophet said to him. Now, the prophet had told him this should be for utter destruction, and you've spared it. And he was angry over this. So let's look in verse 20, chapter 21. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the place of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab does what people do quite often when they're displeased. He wanted to buy himself something. How often does that happen? Everything's not going well, so you're going to purchase something to make yourself feel better. And he saw a vineyard right by his house. Verse 2, and Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it's near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to be, I'll give thee the worth of it in money. Now, on the surface, this doesn't seem bad, does it? You've got this vineyard, I want it. I will give you a better vineyard for it. You know, Ahab was king. He had a whole lot of property. I'll give you a better vineyard for this. Or if that doesn't set well with you, I'll give you the fair market value. Now, that seems okay, doesn't it? One problem with it. God forbid the children of Israel to sell their property. It was all appointed to them in the book of Joshua. There was a commandment in Numbers, never sell your property. It gives a picture of God's gift to Israel. He said, I'm giving you lands and houses and vineyards that you had nothing to do with it. I'm giving you these freely. Now, if an Israelite had become bankrupt and had to do something about his property, you could sell it to somebody in the tribe, but they had to give it back to you during a jubilee. So what he was asking him to do was strictly forbidden in the law. This has something to do with grace. God gives what you have, God gives it to you freely. You can't buy it. You can't sell it. You can't lose it. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it's yours eternally. And what Ahab was doing was showing a complete disregard for this rule, this commandment in the law. Verse 3, and Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me. that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. This was a commandment that I have been forbidden to break. And I can't help but think that somehow he had some understanding. The Lord forbid me to give it to you. You're the one that did. You're not going to get this. Now, look at Ahab's reaction, verse 4. And Ahab came into his house, same way he was after the prophet gave him that previous message in the last chapter. Heavy and displeased. Heavy means stubborn, rebellious, resentful, and sullen. He was angry. He didn't like this. And heavy means raging, angry, and vexed. Ahab wasn't sorry. He had no repentance. He was just mad over him not getting his way. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I'll not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he lay down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. He started pouting. That's what he did. He started pouting. He just got in bed, looked at the wall, and was just displeased with life in general and the way things are coming. He was pouting. Verse 5. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? Now I can almost hear the way he replied. And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I'll give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I'll not give thee my vineyard. He's so upset and sad that he's not getting his way. And I think it's interesting that he didn't really give the reason. He just said, he won't give it to me. He didn't give the scriptural reason that it was forbidden to sell your birthright. It was forbidden to sell that which the Lord had freely given to you. It wasn't for sale. He didn't tell her that part. Verse 7. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Now, wait a minute. Jezebel did. Ahab was king, but she pulled the strings. And she told him what to do. But listen to her. Dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Rise and eat bread and let thine heart be merry. I'll give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. She was going to find a way to do this. So look at her methodology. And she wrote letters in Ahab's name. This was deceitful. And sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in the city dwelling in with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. Now, isn't this what religion does? Sets men up. Sets them up on high. Makes them think good of themselves. I mean, I bet Naboth was thinking, I like this. He's set up on high. I don't read where he complained about this. And then in this letter, she said, set two men, sons of Belial, wicked men, worthless men before him, to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king. And then carry him out and stone him that he may die. Now, number one, since when does she care about whether or not God's blasphemed? She doesn't care. But she's going to use the scriptures. And she's going to say things that are true in a false context. The scripture does say that somebody that blasphemes God and the king should be stoned. It does say that. And it uses two witnesses. Two witnesses have to see this. The witness of one is not enough. So she's using things in the Bible in order to get her way. You know, anybody can do that, can't they? You can use the scriptures to try to prove your point. That's what she's doing. She's using the Bible in a wicked context to get her way. And that is the way, be fearful with regard to the scriptures. Don't use the scriptures, and this scares me to death. Don't use the scriptures to promote yourself. Don't do it. But that's what she was doing. She shows a wicked disregard for the Word of God. when she does this. Verse 11. And the men of the city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants of his city, did, they thought this was Ahab's command, but they did as Jezebel had sent unto them. Like I said, she's the real ruler of the kingdom. She pulls the strings. They did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and it was written in the letters which she had sent them, and they proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. We did what you want us to do. It's all taken care of. And it came to pass, verse 15, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. He got what he wanted. Verse 17, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite. Now, Elijah, you know that he hasn't seen Elijah for 7 years. It's been 7 years since that time of Mount Carmel. He hadn't heard from Elijah, hadn't seen him. And I think it's really neat. Every time you read of Elijah, all of a sudden he just appears. No background, all of a sudden, here's Elijah. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah. And that's what a true prophet is. He has the word of the Lord come to him, and that's what he speaks. And that's what Elijah does. Verse 18. Here's the word of the Lord. Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he's in the vineyard of Naboth, whether he has gone down to possess it. You know, well, everything that's going on, the Lord sees. He sees. He sees everything. Verse 19, and thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. This is the message you're going to give him. You're going to die, and the dogs are going to lick up your blood. Now Elijah comes into the vineyard, and look at Naboth's automatic response, or Ahab's automatic response. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? Now that's how he considered him, his enemy. Really, Elijah was the only true friend he had. He told him the truth. But he considered him his enemy. He hated the message of the Lord. You go back in the next chapter that we'll consider next week. He talked about Micaiah the prophet. He said, all he does is speak bad concerning me. He doesn't have anything good to say. None of God's prophets did. But he didn't repent, showed no remorse. He just considered him his enemy. Hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he, Elijah, answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that shut up and left in Israel. And I'll make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. Now, he says, I'm going to make you just like Jeroboam's house. Do you remember Jeroboam? He's that man who was afraid that him being the king of Israel, everybody would go to Judah and offer sacrifice. And he set up two different places where you could, he said, it's too much trouble for you to go all the way to Jerusalem to offer sacrifice. He set up two different places, Dan and Beersheba, and said, you can offer there. And that way they wouldn't go. He compromised the gospel in order to help himself. And 17 times we read of this as the sin that other sins are measured by, the sin of Jeroboam. And God cut off all of his descendants so he wouldn't be king. And this is what's going to happen to Ahab. You're not going to have any descendants at all. I'm going to cut you off. And Jezebel also spake, and of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. Now look at this description of Ahab. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness. Now, before you get too hard on Ahab, remember what Paul said about himself. He said, the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Now, here's the description of Ahab, but it's the description of me and you by nature. Sold under sin. Sold yourself to work wickedness. You know what this means? This means my sin and your sin is all our fault. We've willingly put ourselves in this position. It's all our fault. My sin, I can't blame God's sovereignty. I can't blame my circumstances. I can't blame your provocations. No, not at all. My sin is all my fault. So is Ahab's. He sold himself. Yes, God's in control. Yes, God's the first cause behind all things. He really is sovereign. He really is God. With regard to my sin, it's all my fault. Now, until you take personal responsibility for your sin, until I take personal responsibility for my sin, I'm not going to ask for mercy. The only time you ask for mercy, the only time you cry for mercy, is when your sin is all your fault. Now that's Ahab. But there was none like Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. Oh, he was so influenced by this woman. And he did very... It doesn't make it not his fault. Yes, evil communications corrupt good manners. There's no question about that. And she had a horrible effect on him. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all the things that the Amorites did, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. This is how wicked this man was. Nobody like him. Now, it came to pass, when Ahab heard these words, that he rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his flesh, and fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly. Now, he heard these words of judgment, and he had enough experience with Elijah to know that what Elijah said would take place. And he was upset. He rent his clothes. He walked softly. He no longer walked in this arrogant, cocky, proud way. He was scared. When the prophet gave this message, he thought, this is going to happen to me. And he was scared. And he walked softly. The air came out. He was no longer this cocky, I'm going to get my way, pouty person. He was scared. He was showing some remorse over what was going to take place. Verse 28. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days. He's not going to see his sons killed. It's going to happen after he's already dead. I'm not going to bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring this evil upon his house. Now, is this repentance? It's a good question, isn't it? Is this repentance? Because the Lord says, I'm not going to do this evil in his day. I'm going to bring it in his son's days because he's humbled himself before me, because he's rent his clothes. Is this true repentance? Now, first, let me remind you what repentance means. Repentance means a change of mind. Your mind has been changed. It's something that God gives all of the elect. Repentance towards God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your mind has been changed. You no longer look at things the way you did. You have a different view of God, a different view of yourself, a different view of salvation. That's repentance, a change of mind. Now, here Ahab smiles. Oh, he's so upset. He knows that whatever Elijah says ends up taking place. He had no love for Elijah. And he's just upset over what God says is going to happen. The dogs are going to lick up my blood. The dogs are going to eat my wife. He is upset. And the Lord says, look how he humbles himself. Now, everything God said would take place with regard to him did take place. The dogs did lick up his blood where he was killed. We're going to read that in the next chapter. Jezebel is eaten of dogs. That's what happened to her. She was carrion for them. So the Lord's word did take place. He didn't see his sons killed the way the Lord said he would at first. But the Lord's word did take place. He did have this judgment, but he had no repentance, because if you look in this next chapter, he goes back to the false prophets again. He goes and consults 400 of them. And he had no sorrow over leaving the... remember, the Lord said, you've saved that which I devoted to utter destruction. And that's more than anything else. That's salvation by works. He saved that. And when God said, you're going to die because of that, he didn't repent. There was no true change of mind about what he thought. He was just angry. He was angry over this issue with Naboth's vineyard. He thought it should be... No true repentance, no genuine change of mind. He didn't rebuke Jezebel for what she'd done. There was no change of mind. Now, that being said, what is true repentance? I could not ask a more important question than that. Because we see a form of repentance with Ahab that seems real. I mean, he was sorry. And he was sorry over the things that were going to take place with him. But there was no genuine sorrow toward God. No sorrow with regard to who he was. No true change of mind. What is true, genuine repentance? What does it look like? What does somebody do when they truly repent? True repentance is when you look solely to Christ and make no claim of any past, present, or future merit. That is repentance. And until you and I look to Christ only, oh, may I say that the way it ought to be said, until you and I look to Christ only and nowhere else, we've had no repentance. You see, faith and repentance always go together. They're two sides of the same sheet of paper, the two sides of the same coin. Repent and believe the gospel. Change your mind concerning all those stupid things you believe about God, about yourself, and about salvation, and look to Christ only. May God give me and you the grace to do that.